just need a good day. Doesn't have to be today. Maybe sometime this year. I guess I'll have to wait. Now I sit alone while scrolling through my phone. Happy people roll by. Why do I always cry? I see people doing well while I lounge around in hell. Funny people hurt the most. Sad people cling to folks. C'est la vie, baby. Just want good people to stay. Make the bad feels go away. Fake people like to play. Scrolling through my phone. Happy people roll by. Why do I always cry? I see people doing. Sad people cling to folks. The mad dance the night away. C'est la vie, baby.
Well, folks, this beautiful piece of music, song, is written by one of my guests. So stay tuned, because you will have a chance to hear Ika Collins and Aaron Atkinson a little bit later. First, I want to welcome you to Arts Live and Local, 2026. January 16th, it's a good day for a lot of special people, KMUN and close friends. So happy birthday to Janet and to Beth, that's Janet Whiteman, Beth Candle, both of them having milestone birthdays, you figure out what. And to our good friend Yunkel, our klezmer, and then in Brownsmead, coming up this week, happy birthday to Hannah and to Tyson. And my beautiful Nova Scotia people, to Tessa, whom I've known since before she was born, and slept in her bed in Nova Scotia before and after she was gone. Full-grown adults, how do they do this? And to Clotilde Thériault-Bourque from L'Anse de Bellevaux, Bellevaux's Cove in Nouvelle-Écosse. Yeah. Also to two beloved friends, local, well-known to KMUN people, whose birthdays are today, even though their bodies are no longer with us, Maggie Kitson and Carol Fenton, with much love. And along with the love, we're sending healing to so many places. It keeps growing bigger and bigger. Sudan, Somalia, Venezuela, Greenland, Palestine, Israel, Ukraine, Russia, Haiti, and so many more, including big time right here in the U.S. of A. But to get more local healing to Noel and Hope, Lisa and Janet, to my Lena, Karen, Reva, Kate, Gina, to Mary Beth and Luann, Jenny, Marietta, Jean and Carl, Tom, Peter, and to you and me and all of us, because I am sure that we all need and can use healing, body, spirit, mind, heart. Pick and choose or take them all. That's what I do. So, you know, if you're a listener, that the best way to heal is to get involved in the arts. And that's what we do here on Arts Live and Local. I have two guests in the studio with me, coming from two different angles, but both of them local and giving us tremendous joy and pride. So, Julia Triesenberg is here from the Columbia River Maritime Museum. She is the education supervisor, and she gets around in this community. I've taken many classes with her through the Senior Center, and she's constantly offering teachings at the Maritime Museum. Hi, Julia.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. But you have been on the air at KMUN.
I have.
Before.
Yes. Yep.
But not on Arts Live and Local.
I don't think so. This is the first time.
It's a good thing. Okay, you'll hear why in a minute. My other guest, and this is very special for me because I did have an interview with him during COVID, but it was on the telephone, so I didn't even know what he looked like. Now, it's old hat. But we are so delighted. Carl Marlantis is here with me and Julia. And we have a reason. Everybody knows this is an event-driven show. And Carl is going to be giving a presentation. And Julia will give you a little background on it. And then Carl is going to tell all, because this is about his book, Deep River. But those of you who live here know how much else he's been involved in, and including... Carl, did you say you were going to tell us a story about an interview? Is it... Oh, wait. Have you been on KMUN in person before?
Just on the phone with you.
Okay. You've been on other radio stations,
oh, yes,
though, I'm sure. Okay. So I think I'm going to just have to call it even. Both Carl and Julia, I would consider single virgins. Julia for Arts Live and Local, and Carl for being live in the studio. So congratulations to you both.
Thank you so much.
It's okay. Julia's blushing a little. Carl,
not so much.
But did you have an interview story?
Oh, I did, yes. And he said, save it. So this was when Matterhorn came out.
Yes.
I was at the TV station in Jackson, Mississippi. And you can tell how famous I was then because I was on a show called Midday Mississippi. And literally, I was between the dogs that stood on their hind legs and did tricks and the woman who taught quilting.
Oh,
And I was in between both of those. And the woman who's the interviewer comes to me just before it's time for us to go on. And she is an archetypal Southern belle. I mean, she's just gorgeous. I mean, my jaw's dropping and I'm trying not to do this. Blonde hair, sweet, it's probably 25 or something like that. And she comes up to me and she says, honey. And then she puts her hand on my shoulder and she says, honey, I haven't read a single word you've written. You and I are just going to have to go out there and wing it. And we did.
And it was a great show.
I was on her side from that time on.
That's
I didn't care. Because I've had a lot of people who haven't read the books trying to do interviews, and it's painful.
Yeah. Well, yes, you told us one of those stories. That was very funny. Well, and I admitted that I often, if I have books to read for the show, I will scan them. I'll read a little bit because I want to know what the writing style is. But when I started to read Deep River, I realized I was in too deep. I couldn't scan it because I wanted to read every word. And that's, and I'm standing by it. So I already gave full disclosure to Carl. I'm up to page, because right there. And there's my bookmark coming from Alan Rose, another writer. And this is an extraordinary book. Let me go back to Julia, though, and ask you, what's the story? How is Carl coming to the museum?
Yeah, so I coordinate the adult education offerings at the museum. And one of the offerings that we do pretty regularly throughout the year is a maritime mat weaving class. So the origin story with this is our mutual friend, Greg Neitzel.
Who was on this station.
Yes.
Before he did his class. Yes.
So he helps coordinate the maritime mat weaving. He's taught me everything I know.
That's facilitates
all of the clubs. And a little over a year ago now, I had been reading Deep River, unaware that there was any connection.
Oh, wow.
And I noticed... I got to the end of the book, and in the acknowledgments page, it says that this is for my friend, Reverend Gregory Neitzel.
Is that?
So
I didn't know about the reverend part. Okay.
So next time I go to see Greg, we're just chatting, and for whatever reason, Deep River comes up in conversation. I tell him that I'm reading it, and he says, oh, you're reading my friend Carl's book. I said, wait a second.
What's going on
here? Are you Reverend Gregory Neitzel?
You thought it was a coincidence?
I did. I just thought it was a coincidence.
Right.
I was drawn in by the book because of the local connection, but it didn't occur to me that they might be the same person.
And Greg officiated at my youngest daughter's wedding because he is the man who I've known longest on the entire planet. We grew up with backyards.
Get out of here.
We were both in the Marine Corps at the same time. We went to high school together.
Okay,
and,
Greg.
And so he went and got one of those matchbook, I don't know what you call them, reverend designations. Was it Universal something?
Universal Life Church.
Yeah, anyway, for $40. And so he performed the wedding ceremony. So then I thanked him in the acknowledgement, Reverend Greg Neitzel.
Okay, thank you for clarifying because the reverend part didn't come up at all when we were talking. I confess that I have had one of those mats, not knowing him at all, for several years, and I use it every day, many times a day. I really use it, and it lasts, and I can even sort of clean it. I don't wash it or anything silly like that, but Greg was very generous, too, so.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he's here listening, and thanks, Greg. So he introduced you and you thought, well, that
yeah.
case.
So we were introduced earlier this year, and as we were talking and I heard a little bit more about Carl's experience writing Deep River and some of his other projects, I was thinking, oh, this would be a really great lecture opportunity. I know that people would come to hear about what his experience was in writing this. So for the Past to Present lecture series at the Maritime Museum, that runs every January and February. And it's one of the big offerings that we have for our membership. So I thought that would be a great opportunity for Carl to come and speak about Deep River specifically because it has such local ties.
Right.
Yeah.
And you did finish the book.
I did. Okay. It's a page turner.
I know. That was the problem.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I stuck with it and just I realized I have a choice. I can stay up all night and be a zombie today, or I can depend on all three of us putting this together.
We're just going to have to
also,
wing it.
Yeah.
Also, I had talked about your coming to my good friend Susan Banyas, who said, oh, yeah, she had a wonderful time with you and Deep River. And she wrote a beautiful piece for Oregon Arts Watch, which anybody can access, actually, if you just go to Oregon Arts Watch. Look, Carmel, your name popped right up for me.
That's good.
I didn't have to search. And I got permission to read a bit of her introduction as well, but I'm not sure. I think I'll just read the tiniest bit, because really, I want you to tell us, I got so involved in these lives, and I have spent time in Finland, including hitchhiking up to Sami land and spending time there and coming back down again. And so and of course, living here is a whole, but your maternal family is Finnish. Yeah. Did you actually grow up in Nacelle? Or
no, my mother was born there, although she didn't speak English until she was in the first grade. I mean, it was that the community here was that deeply Finnish.
Right.
But I was born here in Astoria, St. Mary's Hospital.
Okay.
And but we lived in Seaside. There was no hospital at the time. So, and my grandparents lived here, and I fished with my grandfather here, and complained the entire time.
Naturally.
So it's cold and it was wet. The girls all go to the restaurants, and I don't get them. And he said, I'm sure he was rolling his eyes. I emigrated to America to raise this, you know.
Yeah. However, all those experiences, were they part of why you were able to capture
Oh, absolutely,
so fabulously?
Yeah. I mean, growing up, Seaside then was a logging town. And one of the things that I've said this before is that when I was, you know, like first, second grader, the floors of the school would literally rattle and shake when the log trucks went by.
Yeah.
Because they had one log on them, one, because they were so big. And I think that the old growth forest was cut down by 1972 was the peak year in Clatsop County, and now you got 30 on a truck. I mean,
yeah.
It's just so
we call
different.
Them matchsticks.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they call them something else, but we don't.
Now, here's your opportunity for full confession. Was your family involved in taking out the old growth?
Yes.
You don't have to. Too late.
That's all they had here was old growth, you know, and it was a job, and quite frankly, unconscious. People did not think about, oh, gosh, the ecology. I mean, I don't even think that they knew what the word was, you know. Yeah.
But your character, the big brother, did seem to be aware, not because of ecology or carbon. I never heard of it either, trapping the carbon. But because they were so magnificent. And I got that feeling that it hurt him to cut.
Yeah, yeah. And there's something about it. It's the same as fishing. I mean, these magnificent fish. Big salmon. And we kill them.
And the rest of us eat them.
I mean, you'll go to Safeway and eat salmon. And it's that thing. Somebody once said it's why we have religion, because we have to solve our fundamental guilt that the only way we stay alive is by killing something else. It's just the nature of the world. I mean, you know, Buddhists, you know, would say, there it is. This is where we are. And so cutting down trees to build houses and get some money in the door, sent your kid to school. I mean, that was the way it was.
And again, the focus on, you've got so much politics in here with a small P that, well, the book came out in 2020, but I read that you actually, of course, you had heard of the Kalevala, but you started putting it together much earlier.
Yes.
And was it all stewing around?
It's like most novelists. I stew all the time, and my wife can't talk to me, and, you know. But I once told her, I said, well, you never give me credit for hearing the first half of what you told me. but I'm very hard to live with that way. But I woke up one morning, probably about 3 or 4 in the morning, and I had an image of my grandmother, my mother's mother, looking at the Columbia River and going over her life. Oh. And she was born before there was electricity. She was born in 1889. And she saw people land on the moon. I mean, imagine that. Yeah. And I thought, what a life she's had. And I thought, I should write a novel about a life like that. And that stewed around. And then I when I was at Oxford, I took a class that only you could get at Oxford. It was called Old Norse Poetic Diction. I mean, there is no place else on the earth that you could study Old Norse Poetic Diction.
Okay, but Oxford's the only place that offered it. How many people took this course?
There were about 8.
Okay.
We had a seminar with Emily Dronke, who was the Sigmundsson Professor of Ancient Icelandic Antiquities.
Wow.
But anyway, I started with Old Norse sagas, and I got interested in the Kalevala, which is, of course, the Finnish. It's like the Song of Roland or the Odyssey. The Tane. It's a national epic, and I thought to myself, well, God, it'd be interesting to have that in my life, and then have the characters from the Kalevala and see if I could retell the story. And it didn't work because the Kalevala is a series of basically poems about, you know, ancient. I think someone said they probably were shaman, you know, these figures that came down, because they're not like the old, they're not Norse. I mean, you know, there's no Freya and there's no Baldur and, you know, Odin or any of those. It's wind spirits and tree spirits, and it's a very, very different.
Your book is full of Finnish spirits.
Yeah, thank you.
It's just so rich. Yeah. I mean, you've got, as I said, the politics for the small p, but you're just mentioning that brought that forth.
Yeah.
It's so exciting to just be reading along and then you mention a name and just casually mention this is the spirit of the fill in the blank spot. Beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. So anyway, it didn't work to repeat it. So I said, okay, I'll just move the characters over. So all the characters in the novel are actually characters from the Kalevala, and Lemminkainen, and now I can't think of any other names. I'm 80. I'll tell you after we're off the air. But anyway, yes, you can. If you've read your Kalevala, you can identify them, you know, very easily.
And if you haven't, you don't have to worry about it.
No,
because even though I am an honorary Astorian Finn, I'm a member of the what used to be called, but now it's called the Suomi Hall.
Suomi.
Yes. Suomi, as in Finland.
Yeah.
So, yes, but this Aino character, the book is also very full of strong women, and the one keeps a constant presence is the sister, the three kids who came over. And Ilmari came first, but just reading about what happened to them in Europe. Now, my grandparents came from Europe too and escaped being taken by the Cossacks and put in the military for 25 years.
Yeah.
So I could relate to that.
Absolutely, because the easily. Finns were under the heel of Russia as well. Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
And, but Aino seems to just, sometimes I yelled out at her, no!
I know.
Stop!
don't do that, Aino. Yeah, I know, yeah, that's right. Yeah, someone said she's as frustrating as Scarlett O'Hara.
But she's also brilliant in her passion.
Yes.
And her social justice. Mm. And I was amazed. I wondered how likely it is. I mean, she sounded like Mother Jones, actually, to me, leading and saying, all those who believe in the miners, follow me. And then she turned around, nobody was there. But in this case, the loggers listened to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I found hard to believe. But it seems that...
I think we get misconceptions about... a friend of mine calls it historical chauvinism.
Oh,
we apply our ideas and our concepts and our understanding of today's world mm-hmm. to something that happened four generations ago, and mm-hmm. we get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Those women were listened to. I mean, they were. I mean, they were strong. They had their sphere, and the guys had their sphere. And but no, you didn't mess with them. And there was just it was different, you know. Like one of the things is that Aino always serves her brother's coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. And it was just the way it was,
yeah.
You know. But nobody messed with her. But right. But she it was just part of her job. She was a girl, so she mm-hmm. served the coffee. And then the guys went out and cut the trees down mm-hmm. because the women couldn't. They weren't strong enough. It was all pretty simple in terms of what we're faced with today, you know. So.
But when they were all upset about the wet hay and the freezing rooms they had to come back to,
mm-hmm.
she just confronted him and said, well, what are you doing? So where does that come from?
Well, my great uncle Yuka, who was a high climber, told me that the first strike that he went on was for hay, for dry straw.
Oh,
because of, and that's, I mean, novelists pick these things up, and I went, oh, there's a story in there, you know. I mean, that's all I knew, but I then created the scenes. To think about having to go on strike to get the owner to give you dry straw to sleep in. I mean,
yeah.
We have no idea what we owe the labor movement. Even a weekend. There was no such thing as
right.
a weekend.
Yeah, well, there's the eight-hour day.
Eight-hour day.
I play a lot of those songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did learn. So how did you feel? Right? How long did it take you to actually, once you gave yourself the time?
About 4 years.
Yeah. And did it move smoothly? Did it move
ahead? Well, when I got over, you know, trying to bring the Kalevala over here, mm-hmm. yeah, it started to go through, but the outline was 52 pages. You know, so I outlined it pretty thoroughly, and I'm careful. Like I have a spreadsheet, and I mm-hmm. color code the scenes. And,
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I don't know whether you mentioned Carl went to Yale. He went from Seaside, Oregon, or something like that,
yes,
to
Seaside.
Yale University, which is unusual in itself. And then there's the martini story, which maybe cracked me up. But folks, you're going to have to ask him about that because we're just about out of time. But even though literature was exciting to you, you studied economics and became a strategic planner. Unartistic. I got that a quote from you, and here I'm laughing because exactly when you talk about the
spreadsheets,
there you go. Strategic planning
that's right.
can get you to becoming a fantastic author.
Yeah. Not only that, but studying economics as opposed to English literature, I actually could raise my five kids.
That's a whole other
that's
story.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Although, hopefully, this book is going far and wide. What are you doing now in terms of writing?
Yeah, I'm on another novel, and just right now I'm in that phase of you know, my wife trying to get me back to Earth. You know, where are you now? Oh, I'm inside a belly of a whale. You know? I mean, you know, it's one of the hazards of marrying a novelist.
There you go. Let that be a warning. Are your kids grown now?
Yes.
Okay. So it's just your wife who has to put up with you.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's understandable. I'm sure she has her own hobbies and other things. Well, it is a delight to talk to you. Now, the session that's happening is Tuesday, past to present. It's a series, and Julia can remind you, but am I right that it is for members, or if you buy a ticket to the museum, if you're not a member? But I highly, especially if you live around here, support your local organizations, because the Columbia River Maritime Museum is the best in the West. And they've got lots of grants and stuff. So put your money on it too. And then you get these emails and you'll know about things like this. And you can join this Tuesday, 11 a.m. And are you going to give folks a chance to Q&A as well?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so Carl's going to be here next Tuesday, the 20th. We have many signed copies of Deep River available in the museum store, and Carl's willing to write special notes to folks if they want to have their book personally signed by him.
Okay, so this is a whole nother perk that you can pick up the book if you don't have it already. If you, like so many other people, were so excited about it, you sent it off to somebody else and your copy is gone. Get another one and have Carl. And thanks to Greg for making a connection. And Julia, thanks to you for running the program, doing a great job at the museum. And Carl, I look forward to get in touch when you, any date expected?
No,
of course not. Silly me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But thank you so much for this. Because before I started reading it, everybody talked about it, and it wasn't just the Finns. It was everybody who lives here keeps getting hits off this. You've got so much local lore in here as well as all of the logging stories and the immigrant story. And right now in the United States, so many of the subjects, labor unions that you talk about, the midwifery that's here, there's just so much in your book that is so relevant. Class, race, labor, capitalism, and what we're all going through. Get the book. I don't know who published it. It's Grove Atlantic, New York Times bestselling author of Matterhorn. That's a Vietnam, and that's also gotten great acclaim. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for.
I look forward to
letting us be here. Yeah.
Seeing
you thank
again.
You so much, Carol.
Okay, and some music from the other of my upcoming guests. And do stay tuned. This is Arts Live and Local, KMUN, Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook, and this is Aaron Atkinson.
Come meet me down by the fork in the stream, where the water runs, Seminole sipping on Jameson, chasing crawdaddies at night, a little radio and a flashlight. Didn't bring a bucket along. I knew we never take anything home. Wouldn't call it a waste. It was all for the timing and the chase. Crawdaddies at night, a little radio and a flash. Thank you.
Wow. Okay, folks. This is not the whole song, but I have to take it down because I've got the real thing here. But there's no such thing as a thing. I learned that this morning in the Buddhist class, so, or people or anything else. But I have two beautiful women here who are going to be performing at the Sou'wester in Seaview tomorrow evening, 7 to 8:30, which is different from their usual time. So 7 o'clock. The voice you just heard was Erin Atkinson.
Yes.
And the voice you heard at the beginning of the show was Ika Collins, who's not speaking.
Hi. Oh. Sorry.
That's the people forget it's radio. You
totally.
You can't just smile or shake your head. That's great. Beautiful music.
Thank you.
Ika's piece, C'est la vie, bébé, and you've put that out as a single, is that it?
Yes.
You don't have an album at this
Working point. On it.
You are? Good. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Working
so
on an EP.
You'll let us know.
Of course.
And then Erin, whose piece is Crawdaddies, which is very appropriate around here.
Good.
Not to mention the fact that you sing about radio, which
yes.
I thought, am I hearing right? This is perfect. Okay. But you also belong to a band.
I do. Well, a couple of bands.
Oh.
I have my longtime band since 2008 is called The Druthers.
Right. That's the one
it's,
I heard.
Yeah, folk rock band. And then I started my own band that just goes under my name, Erin Atkinson.
Okay.
And that's what Crawdaddies is from. Yeah.
Nice.
Yes.
And I did have to write down this one short quote for Erin. Extraordinary ability of turning into a completely unique instrument. I like that.
Yes.
And I heard it in
yes.
your, I listened to the Druthers too, so.
Oh.
Okay. Are you two friends? Have you known each other for a long time? I mean, how did this come together? Because you're, tomorrow night, you're each singing separately, correct? Or are you going to...
Separately and together.
And
we'll do
together.
A few songs together.
Yes. Okay.
Ika, do you want to tell the story of how we
met? Yeah. We got looped into doing a songwriter round in Portland at the Laurel Thirst from our buddy Rose Gerber, who also plays folk Americana in town. And she gathered maybe like six of us. And then Erin and I were in a round and... The first time I heard Erin sing, she sent me into full stop. And I was like, I need to talk to her right now.
Yeah.
And then we were like, I was like, I feel like we kind of like write, they were like play similarly and like we have strong voices. We're both femme, you know, in the Portland scene. And let's start putting some bills together and start playing around. And then we did this serendipitous radio tour like this week. And now we're here.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, it was exciting because... As I say, I didn't get to hear you at first. I only heard Erin, very strong voice. And then I get to hear you, and it's like, okay. And my guests, my first guests, oh, what a beautiful voice. I thought, see? And we have the chance to listen in person tomorrow evening at the Sou'wester. Again, 7 o'clock, that's in Seaview. So what's music mean to you? Is that your life? Is it your hobby? You have a day job. I'm going to ask you to, Erin.
Okay. Music, I feel like I'm blessed that it's actually a part of my life now. In the last 5 years, asking to do some session work and then a house show and then kind of the rest is history. My name means love song and bright and beautiful music, and it feels like destiny in some weird way.
Wow.
But music for me is to build community and make me feel less alone while I share my fun little bummer bops.
Yes, is that what those are?
Yeah.
Oh, those were great.
Thank you.
I opened the envelope and these delightful things fall out.
Oh. And my little merch.
That was great, right?
Awesome.
There was no name, but that merch, that was stuck somewhere. So were you doing music before 5 years ago?
No, I feel like I kind of got like bullied earlier and like people like
you mean
like
seriously?
No. Yeah, and I just got asked and some folks believed in me and I was just working in, you know, day jobs. I have a day job now, but I music is like my life, and I'm so happy that it's actually in my face now.
In you. I like the way you express yourself.
Thank you.
That's great. And and this is going to be a podcast, so you can listen back and say, oh, did I say that? Yes. Erin, have you been doing music for a very long time?
I have been doing music a long time. I grew up on the outskirts of Oregon City. Mm-hmm. I was homeschooled and spent a lot of time alone and listening to music at church. Mm-hmm. My neighbors had a wolf sanctuary, and the wolves would howl at night. And I didn't know how lucky I was to be howling with wolves from my bedroom window at night. But I picked up some intuitive music there and singing with animals and spending a lot of time alone in nature. And I am a career nanny, and one of my favorite things to do is to connect with babies and sing to babies and children and write songs with children. It feels like a language that we're all born with, be it, you know, human or animal. Music has always been there with us, so...
And so the wolves inspired you.
Yes.
And now you're inspiring all these babies and children. You're starting them off at a very young age.
Yes.
Wow. I love this. I want to keep you two. Can we keep these two here?
Happy to stay.
Okay. So have you played at the Sou'wester before?
I have. I got the opportunity to play there with the Druthers over Labor Day weekend this past summer. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was 2018 I was out there for an artist residency, which was really fun.
Great.
Yeah.
And it's your first time.
Yeah, it's totally my first time. And I've just heard nothing but great things. I love the coast. I could be by the water all day, every day. And it's a dream.
Absolutely in the right place.
Awesome. So excited.
That's good. Well, I hope you have a wonderful time.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate your music. I look forward to hearing your EP.
Thank you.
And Erin, I've got three of your songs.
Are you going to play some more?
Staying Awake and Apron of a Stage.
Correct.
Shall I put one of those on?
Yeah.
Which one?
Apron is a little bit slower, more of a moody, and Staying Awake is a little more folk rock, I'd say. So you choose.
What do you think, slow or folk rock?
Folk rock.
Okay. I'll wake us
up. We're going to stay awake.
Right on.
Yes. Okay. We're going to go there. Wow.
Oh,
gold if we behave as we're told with minimal say-so. I will have you know that there
you're listening
are
to Erin Atkison, and I'm going to ask, or I have asked, Aika to share something with you before I let these two go. Again, they're going to be playing at the Sou'wester. And do you have websites people can find you?
Yes. Yes. Yep. At Aika Collins. You can find me on all socials, all streaming platforms. And yeah, fun little bummer bops. She's going to keep on rocking. Yeah.
That's so cool. Okay, and Erin?
My website is erinadkison.com. It's erinadkison.com. And I'm also on Instagram and Facebook.
Okay. Whew. And
yes. Yeah, thank you again for having us here. And one thing I just want to leave everybody with, just given our times right now and everything that's going on, I feel like our hearts are really heavy. And just a reminder, you can do hard things and stay strong out there and keep on, you know, being peaceful and keep on fighting. So
thank you so much. That's what we need to hear, and that's what we need to remember. And let the arts inspire you. Let whatever works for you work. But obviously, this works for a lot of us. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Aika Collins and Erin Atkison tomorrow night at the Sou'wester. I'm going to put on a tiny bit of one of my heroes who died a few years ago, way before her time, Anne Feeney. And then I have a last guest here, our not virgin KMUN person to talk to us.
One foot in front of the other and keep breathing. Lord knows we've been through some trying times lately. And after enduring so many setbacks, we can begin to wonder if our lives, our work, mean anything. But still, I keep believing, because we can never know exactly where we stand in history. Think of the thousands of people who spent 10 or 20 years of their lives trying to get Nelson Mandela released from prison. Some of them died, perhaps brokenhearted, without learning the happy ending to that story. And so I say, hold on to hope with both hands. I'm going to share with you words from Dr. King that have given me the strength to carry on many times. And I hope that these words, inspired by sacred song and Unitarian philosophy, lift you up and give you the courage to keep on. I hear you ask today, how long will it take? I hear you ask today, oh, how long? Ask today, how long will it take? How long?
Not long.
How long?
Not long.
Not long, because no lie can live forever. I hear you ask today, how long will it take? I hear you ask today, how long? I hear you ask today, how long will it take? How long?
Not long.
How long?
Not long.
Not long, because you still what you sow.
Yes.
How long?
Thank you, Aunt Feeney, for giving us the message we need more than ever right now. Unfortunately, those words, Martin Luther King's words, it's taking way, way too long in my estimation. Most of you know, for one reason or another, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday was yesterday, 1929, his birth, and this coming Monday is the third Monday in January every year. So far, we've still got it. Devoted so that schools are usually closed and other places as well. I have asked Lowell Benner, who goes by many names on this radio station. I won't name them. He can out himself.
You're,
if he
you're
wishes.
Protecting my, yeah, my identity. Yeah, too. Thank That's you, Carol. Right.
He is a very active programmer and volunteer here at KMUN. He also, well, why don't you tell them, what is this book club?
Yeah, it's the Astoria Social Justice Book Club. And it was started by four people at Peace First about five, six years ago. Oh, and they were looking at educating people about racism. And the people were Karen Haynes and her mother, Thelma. And Thelma was a former school teacher. And Pastor Steve Keenberger and his mother, Alice, who's a librarian. So they started a library at Peace First and started getting these books and then got a book club together and decided to take it on the road and make it open to the community. And so it became the Social Justice Book Club, and we needed a home. So we were looking all over Astoria, and we found our home at the Commodore. Perfect. They have the library room. They allow us to use it for free. Okay. It is such a wonderful gift, and we go on in there the second Tuesday of every month from 6 to 7, in theory, usually 7:30 okay. by the time we finish. And it's comfy, cozy with couches and a fireplace, and we have a great discussion every month.
And what street are they on? Is it
they
14th,
are on,
right
they,
here?
They are right down.
Right down the block?
Yeah, right down the block.
Okay, so it's right central in Astoria, and anybody can join.
Anybody can come.
And if you didn't read the book, you're still welcome.
You are more than welcome.
Is there a listing or a website or anything?
No, we don't. The way we work the books is that when people show up, we normally plan 2 months at a time. So mm-hmm. the next book is a woman who is new to the book club, and she suggested The Serviceberry from the woman who did Braiding Sweetgrass. And we're going to do that next. And we read Robert Reich's Coming Up Short last Tuesday, which was great dialogue and discussion.
Right.
And then following that, we have one called Stolen Pride about people in Appalachia. And then we just open it up to everybody, and people will suggest books.
That sounds fabulous.
It really is fun. Really
now,
enjoyable.
You mentioned that you had read a book called Three Mothers.
Yes.
I've never heard of it.
Three Mothers was a book, and I don't remember who recommended it, but I was so grateful that they did. It is Martin Luther King's mother, Malcolm X's mother, and James Baldwin's mother.
Oh, wow.
And it's their stories. And you can see why these men became the men they became, and it was their mothers. And the stories are phenomenal. And not that fathers didn't have anything to do with it, but in some cases, the fathers weren't around. Right. Martin Luther King clearly was. One of the important things about Martin Luther King I was reminded that his mother, Alberta, was murdered 6 years after he was in church playing the organ. And so there's a lot of pain in this family and a lot to celebrate as well in terms of what they gave to America.
Absolutely.
So Three Mothers, really great book.
And three incredible human beings.
Absolutely.
MLK, Malcolm X, and James Baldwin. Wonderful. Well, thanks for letting us know, because I've seen the posters, flyers every once in a while, but I have never tried it, and it sounds terrific. So it's the second Tuesday of the month.
Second Tuesday of the month. So February 9th will be the next one, and the service berry is the book. And like I say, all are welcome. We have savory and sweet food, beverages, and you can join us. We also just won, thinking of Martin Luther King, who opened so many avenues, one that we read a few months back, the lovely one, the Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's memoir, is gold.
Oh, wow.
It's really wonderful because her journey is very different than you expect.
Mm-hmm.
And and I know that in Multnomah County, it's the book that everybody...
Oh, yes, that's right. I've been
hearing it's
that.
The book that everybody's supposed to read.
And you know what that means? That means if you live there, you get a free copy from the library. Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, that's what they're saying on the radio. I was like, but you probably have to show proof. I'm sure you do.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it's a great idea. Well, here we rely on each other because we're a small community, but we sure reach far. And Carl Marlantis's book, Deep River, also has so much of this social justice. That it's a novel, but it's based on so much history as well. And it's fascinating to learn local material.
It is.
So thank you so much, Lowell Bender.
Well, thank you, Carol.
And I do want to let folks know in the remaining 30 seconds, Cannon Beach Gallery opening is happening right now, starting at 4 o'clock. Photography show, group show, Lion's Den tonight and tomorrow night. Ilwaco Artworks all the time, folks. So much clay going on. It's wonderful. The Seaside Library tomorrow. Ica and Aaron at the Southwester. The NCRD, R.J. Marks, is talking. And next Thursday, Clatsop College Art Show opens the Au Naturel. The reception will be on Feb 13th, and we'll be talking about it right here, Arts Live and Local. Thanks for being here with me.
This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and streaming live at KMUN.org.
Support for KMUN programming comes in part from the historic Liberty Theater in Astoria. From live shows to special events, it happens at the Liberty. For more information, visit libertyastoria.org.